Welcome to another edition of the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, founder Alex Tiersch is joined by Dr. Nicole Norris, owner of Nicole Norris MD Medical Spa.
Welcome, everybody, to the Medical Spa Insider Podcast. This is Alex Tiersch on the AmSpa Hotline, direct from Peru, Illinois. I have the incredibly talented and lovely Nicole Norris, Dr. Nicole Norris, who is the owner of Nicole Norris MD Medical Spa, which is, as I said, located in Peru, Illinois, which we'll get into a little bit as to where that is. But Nicole, how are you doing? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Alex. I'm doing great, and I'm just really happy to get a chance to talk to you again.
No, of course. I was thinking about, I think you might have been like at our very first boot camp way back when, right? You and Tamara, your RN, I think, came up back in Chicago.
Oh, yes. That's actually what I was thinking about when you asked if I would do this. I was thinking, you know, I really owe a lot to you and to AmSpa for helping me, you know, get to where I am today. It sounds like I'm graduating from high school. But anyway, I was actually trying to think how long ago it was, but it was in 2015. Right. You had a program in Chicago called How to Open Your Medical Spa. I think it was like your first boot camp.
It was.
And it was just the right timing for me because I had about 2 years where, as a family doctor, I had been dabbling in some Botox and Dysport and a little Botox. And I just thought, you know, I really want to do more with this, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so that was perfect timing. And then it was actually 1 year exactly after that boot camp that I did open my own medical spa.
That's awesome. Yeah, that was the, so you are a true OG, as we like to call folks who went to the original one. Because that was, I mean, our program has obviously been, has evolved so much since then, but that was amazing. So you came up from Peru. I think it's important to set the context a little bit because, one of the reasons I'm having you on and I've been anxious to have you on is that you represent what I think is, you know, maybe it's sometimes overlooked and under-recognized area of our aesthetics population. And by that, I mean, you're not from a big city. You're not in the suburbs. You're not from an area where you've got, you know, $20 million homes like in Malibu every 5 feet, right? You're in a very different market, but one that is very common to a lot of people in this industry. So I think it's important to get your perspective because it's such a booming market. The med spas can be just as powerful and as lucrative in a place like where you live than anywhere else. But with that said, talk a little bit about where, you know, what Peru is, where it is, what the market is like, what the population is. We can just kind of set the stage as to what your perspective is.
Sure. So, Peru, Illinois is about 90 miles southwest of Chicago, so it is not a suburb, but we're close enough that we can go to the city in a day trip. But most of our industry is small business and farming, and my practice, the town that it's in is actually, I think the population is about 10 to 12,000 people, but my where I draw from is actually more like a 50-mile radius just because all of the towns where we are small towns.
Right. So and how many towns are there surrounding? I mean, do you know? Just I was looking at a map earlier today. Like there's a ton of these little small towns.
I have no idea, Alex, how many small towns
there's so many of them.
The town I actually grew up in is about 20 miles from Peru, and it has a population of 650 people.
Wow.
So, and my dad is still a farmer there. So I came back to my roots, and that has helped me in my business because I understand the people that live here and, you know, I know what they know. And right. I think that's been the biggest thing for me opening a medical spa, you know, in a rural community is that, you know, they only know what they've seen on TV or seen on Instagram or, and so I have to kind of tweak things and make people realize that, you know, what a medical spa is, that it's not just a spa, it's not a beauty salon. And, you know, that we actually have medical backgrounds and we're we want to change people and help people, but we're not out, you know, to make them look like somebody else, like they might see on TV.
Is that what the kind of their impression is? I'm trying to ask this in a way that I'm not meaning to be pejorative in any way. Like when people hear about Botox or lip fillers, in your communities, what's their reaction? Is there some kind of resistance to it at first because of what they see on Beverly Hills Housewives or whatever it is, or like what's kind of the attitude towards aesthetic treatments in your area?
Yeah, when I first started, I mean, even my partners, the doctors that I worked with, they all thought I was nuts because they didn't really understand what it was that I was doing. And I would say that, you know, generally probably rural areas of the country are all very similar. They tend to be a little more conservative. People are, you know, very genuine, and they're good with things more than people are maybe that live in more urban areas because they have more opportunities.
Right.
So I guess I would say that I've learned that education is the biggest part of my marketing, and I enjoy educating in family practice. That's what I did most of the time. And so now, instead of educating about their disease state, I am educating them on everything that is aesthetic.
Yes, I'll bet. So have you noticed, you've been open for 4 years, right? I think is what you said. Okay. So have you noticed kind of a change in the way that people have received aesthetic treatments and fillers and Botox and things like that, and since you've been there?
Definitely. And I'm not sure if it really has to do with me, but I think it just has to do with, it's just more accepted. And, you know, patients still tend to be, you know, maybe not necessarily wanting to tell everyone they know that they're doing something. They want it to look natural and look like they didn't have to do anything to look better. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's definitely, you know, especially after everything that we have been through, you know, the last few months, patients are more willing to, you know, say, you know, I do want to do something for myself. I'm not being selfish. You know, I deserve this.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it's a bit of a myth. I say this because I've talked with I've met so many people who have opened med spas or are looking to open med spas, and you know, people talk about the location and you know the population size, and people sometimes get a little bit nervous when you're out in a place like Peru where they think, oh, the market can't support a med spa in a place like Peru. And I think that's absolutely false. And that a lot of the med spas that are operating in smaller communities like you are, that are drawing not just on your community, but on all the communities surrounding it, tend to do a lot better, a lot faster. What's your experience with that? And do you agree with it?
I do agree with it. I think that everyone wants to look better. Everyone wants to take care of themselves. Everyone loves that feeling of when they look in the mirror, they're like, wow, I look better, I look good. And that not only affects their emotional health, but it affects their physical health. And, you know, what we do is very essential.
Yeah. So how do you typically reach your patients? I mean, you've got all these outlying communities. A lot of them are very small towns, as you said. You know, a lot of farming and business and agriculture. How do you reach your patients? How do people find you?
Yeah, so I definitely utilize social media to a large extent, and I use social media as a platform to educate. I do at least one, if not three, videos every week where I'm talking about something that we do, and or I'm showing something that we do, or talking about health and skincare. So I think that's a great way for me to, you know, reach a larger radius. I still write for the newspaper. They have every month they have a magazine that goes out. Mm-hmm. It tends to be read by patients over 50. Mm-hmm. And I always write an article in it about something that's, you know, educating about what we do. And a lot of people probably don't use the newspaper anymore, but in my area, that still works for me.
Yeah.
And people like to be able to sit down and read something, because what we do is hard to explain in a picture or in five words or on a billboard even.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful to me. And then the other thing that I've really started doing more and more of is webinars. I was going out to the community and I was speaking at different restaurants and different establishments, and you know, we'd have almost like a little party and talk about what I do, show before and after pictures. But now I'm actually doing webinars, and it's actually much less work to do a webinar, and you can record a webinar, so if people don't show up, they can watch it on their own time. And you also don't have to worry about people being worried about what other people might think of them attending that webinar about Botox. Because no one knows they're there. So that's another way that we've really brought in a lot of other patients from other communities, is just by having that presence.
Right. It's so interesting because what you're saying, I think it means that you are in tune with what your market is looking for, because there are, you know, there are places where they still, you know, have phone books, right? I mean, you know, it's very rare, but, you know, so you have to meet people where they are. And so you reaching them through the newspaper, I think is very wise. Is that one of your kind of central referral sources, are people who hear about you in the newspaper?
I definitely believe it is, because when we always ask when people come into our office, how'd you hear about us? And in that population over 50, they may have been following us for a long time, reading our articles for a long time before they finally decided to come in. But, you know, most people are on social media, but there are people out there who are not, and they are still in my demographic of who I want to treat. So that helps me. I even think in larger cities, you know, there's that same demographic that may not be on social media, but they still read the newspaper. It's just that it's very expensive to put things in the newspaper in bigger cities versus where I'm at. It's not as expensive.
Right. So you're back open, right? I mean, we're talking in the middle of August, so we're in the middle of the, still kind of in the, I would like to see we're on the back end of this, but gosh, who knows nowadays, right? Like, but you guys are open and operating. Is that fair?
Oh, definitely. We opened June 1st. So, we had the best month we have ever had in June of 2020 or 2020, June
That's
of 2020,
awesome.
Which is truly amazing. But I think, you know, there was definitely pent up demand.
Right.
There were definitely people that had been, you know, waiting 1 month, 2 months or 3 months, you know, for their, you know, to get back for their Botox, to get back on schedule. But I also think that there was just a lot of people out there who thought, you know what, it's time for me to do something for myself, because I got through this, you know, tough time in our state, in Illinois. You know, pretty much we were quarantined for 2 months before things started reopening.
Right.
So, yes, it's been very, I'm very, very happy and blessed that the things are busy after being closed.
Yes. So have you, it's interesting what you said, have you actually seen a kind of an increase in new patients as well as kind of the pent up demand for current patients looking for services?
Absolutely. Our
That's
new
interesting.
Patients have gone through the roof.
Wow.
And I would like to say it's because of all my great social media during the time I was closed because I had nothing else to do. I don't think that's the only reason. I also have seen, I think, an uptick because most patients, not everyone, but most patients are not going on that typical July, August, summer vacation that they usually have money set aside for. And so they are instead saying, well, I'm still going to do something fun, something non-essential, something, you know, luxurious, and they're going to spend their money with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that has helped business as well.
That's awesome. It's interesting that you say that because I've heard and talked to many people who have had some of this pent up demand and they have a really good June, they had a good July even, but they're seeing it taper off a little bit. What's your experience with that? Are you still kind of on the upswing or how's your business going right now this month?
We haven't had any downturn. Typically
That's awesome.
The first 2 weeks of August are the slowest 2 weeks of the year, but they have not been slow. And it's because I really think more people are at home. And, you know, potentially because they haven't been traveling, you know, or doing much of anything, but yet they're back at work, they're coming in.
Right.
And I also think there's another thing that's really brought in a lot of patients. I think there's a lot of people out there who want to do the things that I do, but are worried about what they're going to look like, you know, for a couple of days to 2 weeks after whatever procedure it is, whether it's bruising, swelling, or something, someone's going to be able to tell they did something. Well, now that we are wearing masks and people are being very respectful of that and wearing them regularly, you know, it's great. You can have whatever you want done, you know, as long as it's below your eyes, and you're golden. No one will know you had anything done.
You're right. No. And not only that, people are leaving the house probably less than they would, you know, ordinarily.
Right. They don't have any social, they don't have any big social events. I'm typically always planning procedures around people's social life, but I really haven't had to do that as much. And I think patients are taking advantage of that.
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, I think both of those. So you mentioned the fact that people are able to stay home. They maybe have some more money, as well as the fact that people are maybe wanting to treat themselves a little bit because they see what's going on and they think it's a good time to do that. All of those are great indicators for the future of the market for those of us who can actually stay open and keep their businesses afloat. What's the overall competition like in and around Peru for these services? I mean, that's one of the advantages I would think for operating in a market like yours, is that there can't be, you know, a med spa on every corner, right?
No, there's definitely not. Unfortunately, I would say that we have competition.
Yeah.
It's not medical spas. It tends to be people that have learned to do Botox and filler,
yeah,
but maybe they aren't necessarily doing it in the most legal of ways.
Gotcha.
So I would say that, and it may not be that they technically know that. I only know that because I've gone to all your meetings.
No, you're right. A lot of them don't know it. I mean, I like to give credit to these folks who tend to are breaking the rules without even knowing it. It's typically how it works.
Yes. Yes.
But I appreciate
that. There's competition, definitely competition. We just focus on that we are the professionals that, you know, I'm the only doctor in quite a radius who does these aesthetic procedures. So that's what we focus on.
That's got to help. I mean, that's got to help as far as credentialing. Do you find that makes a difference in your marketing and your approach?
I do.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, let's, you know, I you've got an interesting story, and we've known each other for a while, and I there are a lot of doctors out there. You come from the quote unquote non-core side of things, which I hate even that there's a label for that, because you're there's not really much of a difference between skill level between non-core physicians and core physicians when it comes to aesthetic treatments. But with that said, most non-core physicians, to use that term, come from another area of practice. You're not a plastic surgeon, so you didn't go, you know, to residency with the idea that you were going to be doing aesthetics. Talk about how you got from being a family physician to opening your own business, to getting into the aesthetics, and what's that like? Because I think there's a lot of doctors and PAs and NPs out there who are in the same boat as you and want to do that, but just are trying to figure out how to do it.
Sure. So I think, you know, in 2013, when I started being really interested in doing something more aesthetic as part of my practice, which I think kind of correlated with my own age and the fact that I wanted to have some of these things done,
yeah.
To be very honest. I really just started going to different trade shows and conferences. And the funny thing was, is most of them, when I went to do my registration, they had specialty and you had to click which one you were.
Mm-hmm.
And there were only four. And none of them were family practice.
Right.
And so I would always check that I was a dermatologist, because honestly, I did a lot of derm in my practice as a family doctor. So I just checked that.
Right.
I didn't really feel like I was lying, though.
Well, you had to check something.
Because I wanted to go to the conference.
Right.
And so going to those big shows, that really kind of introduced me to the field. And then I would talk to people and say, you know, how do I do this? Because at the time, it was I was probably one of two family doctors at these shows. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, you just have to do it. You just have to start doing it. And somebody had to tell me that at least four times before I actually picked up a syringe and decided to inject someone with Botox. Mm-hmm. But once I started doing it, then I did more trainings. And, you know, that's kind of how I started. And I just did two afternoons a week in my family practice where I offered injectables. And it was so fun. And I was actually injecting patients that I had seen for 12 years in family practice, which mm-hmm. some of them, you know, were on multiple medications for chronic health conditions. And others I had just seen for counseling and, you know, for more psychological issues. But it was amazing how different those people became when I injected them and they felt a little better about themselves. So technically, it took no dose change, no change in their medication for them to feel better about mm-hmm. themselves and hence, you know, lower their blood pressure. Right. So that's what really motivated me, that I could actually make people better. I could make them healthy without prescribing one single pill.
That's awesome. So you find that even for your regular family practice patients, the cosmetic treatments would increase their overall well-being, irrespective of the other medication and things like that. That's awesome.
Yes, yes. It was truly just an amazing feeling. And I think around that same time, I started to be less excited about being an employed physician. I had been in my own private family practice for 5 years. And then I thought the grass was greener on the other side. So I went and joined a big hospital group. And I did that for 6 years. But towards the end of it, I just realized it didn't fit me anymore and what I really wanted and how I felt that I could help people. So, you know, that job came to an end. And that's when I took the opportunity, you know, after I went to your boot camp, and I think I might've called you three or four times. I'm not sure if I should do this, Alex, but this is what I'm thinking.
You should definitely do it.
You were very encouraging. So I took the job.
So, well, you know, I've heard from other, because actually family practice physicians are the number one type of, again, using the term non-core physician that comes into aesthetics, which I didn't realize. Family practice and emergency room doctors tend to be the two groups that come in. Family practice doctors tend to be very, very successful right out of the gate because, and I'd love your view on this, they have a level of trust with their current clientele that other doctors maybe don't have. So their clientele can come in and talk about anything. They can ask them all sorts of questions. They feel comfortable communicating with you. They feel comfortable with the education that you're giving them. Did you find that to be an asset when you opened?
Definitely. And the thing is I opened my medical spa within the town that I'd been a family doctor for 12 years. So people already knew me as a known quantity and someone that they would trust for their mm-hmm. medical care. So if they were at all interested in aesthetics, you know, I think that I already had that barrier jumped.
Right.
that people knew who I was and they trusted me. And, you know, or if they didn't know me, they knew someone who did know me. It's a small town.
Right. No, that's an advantage though, right? I mean, I think for anyone out there listening who is from a smaller community, I mean, I think that means something because, you know, unlike in the suburbs of Chicago or New York or LA, where you have to Google somebody and find out all the different reviews and all that kind of stuff. I mean, literally where you are, it's a phone call away and somebody's going to know who you are and say, oh, she's great. She's nice. Right. I mean, that's gotta be a huge advantage.
I agree. I think it is. And so, in any practice of medicine, you establish a relationship with a patient. In family practice, they tend to be very long-term relationships, but you're still having to establish a relationship. And that is key in aesthetics because now what I do, no one needs, they just want it. And mm-hmm. so I have to set myself apart from other people who may do Botox just as well as I do, but I have to do it a little better, because I'm going to establish that personal connection and that, you know, that relationship that's not just going to be, you know, a one-time come in. It's going to be a, you know, a long-term relationship.
Right. Right. No, I think I'm telling you, the family practice doctors out there that are listening, if you're kind of tired of that practice area, getting into aesthetics is great. What advice do you have for, you know, there's tons of folks who listen, who want to get into the industry. They don't necessarily know how, or they're a little bit nervous about it. What's your advice for someone who took the plunge from a fully paying day job to opening your own med spa? What's your advice for someone out there who wants to do the same?
So I definitely think it's a great idea to dabble and to try it out when you have that good day job, mm-hmm. because you need to know for sure that this is what you want to do. But if it is what you want to do, you really need to drop the day job and do this full time, because it's not a part-time job to do it well. It's full time. Because it's not just about doing procedures. It's all the marketing. It's running a business. It's staff. And you truly need to do all of those things. You can have people to help you and have people maybe even hired to do those things, but you're still doing those things.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, a lot of times when I talk to physicians or other providers who are thinking about doing this, they say, well, I'm thinking about, you know, having one room where I do aesthetic procedures, or split my waiting room. And, you know, I think it's fine to start like that, but I don't think that's the best way, you know, to be successful in the long run. And the hardest part for me was that transition from that full-time day job. When I left the hospital, I basically started my business 3 weeks later, but of course my business couldn't pay me mm-hmm. when I first opened the doors. So I had to be a little creative, and I was actually able to get a job as a locum tenens physician in a nursery. So I was on call 1 week a month for all the babies that were born. And then, so I was busy that 1 week a month, you know, doing that job, but I got paid well for that job, which really helped me, because I honestly didn't pay myself for my medical spa for 18 months.
Yes. I remember having numerous conversations with you about, and I think I was trying to encourage you to quit your other jobs and be like, no, you just got to do it full time. And you kept saying, I can't. So I totally remember that sequence. And you know, it's great that you did it the way that you did it, because every situation is different. And, it's so cool to see how far you've come. I mean, being open, we were talking about this before we went live, being open for 4 years is no joke. I mean, that's not easy to do in this business. So you should feel really good about that.
Thank you.
So what is next for Nicole Norris? You've got, you know, a thriving practice. It's in a small area. Are you looking to continue to grow and expand, or are you happy with where you are? What's next?
So interestingly, about 9 months ago, I had been talking to my accountant about opening another location. Mm-hmm. Well, I changed my mind mm-hmm. after the last several months, because I guess all of a sudden we started having a lot of people traveling to us, which I think has to do a lot with what we were doing on social media. And when we boosted our posts, we were expanding our reach, and we knew of a couple practices closing that were further away from us. So we started really marketing to those places. And honestly, I mean, we have patients that are driving 50 miles to come see us. So I thought, you know what? I don't need another location.
Yeah. You need parking.
I might just need a bigger building, but I don't need another location.
That's all. Well, and you mentioned before when we were talking earlier, that, and I've heard this from others, so I think it's important to address, like, you know, there's always positives that come out of any economic downturn. Like, there's opportunity. I've been talking about this a bunch in these podcasts. And you mentioned that, although you kind of feel guilty talking about it, you know, this pandemic has in many ways been a good thing for your business. Talk a little bit about that, like how things have changed, and maybe some things that you're are going to be permanently changed, that you're not going to go back to as it was before.
I think that, you know, I'm a very positive person, and yeah. I have a high smile score. That's important. getting into your own business and being an entrepreneur is to stay positive, and everyone needs to see you smiling.
Yes.
Then they'll smile. And so I feel like because of everything that has gone on in our world, it's even more important to be that positive person, not just for your staff, but for the people that are coming in, your patients, because they're coming to you to kind of get away from all of that,
right?
And just take a little break. But they can still do that and be very safe. And I think some of the things that have happened in our office to make us safe are good things. And, you know, I think they're going to persist a very long time. You know, people don't really need to sit in our waiting room. They can sit happily in their car on their phone until we're ready for them. And, you know, we bring them in. They feel very pampered, because the other thing that we did is we don't have a front desk person anymore. We decided that the best thing was that for patients to have as little exposure to other people as possible. So If it's my patient, I meet them at the door, I bring them in, I check them out, I take them out to their car. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. Concierge service.
Really? So are you, is that change from a front desk person a permanent change?
It might be.
Wow.
I mean, definitely we need help with the phones, which is something right. that we're working on. But as far as who our patients are exposed to, patients very much like the fact that they're only going to be with one person the entire time. They're not going to see any other soul while they're here. And for a lot of reasons, I mean, even just the privacy part, people don't want to run into their neighbor, you know, when they're here.
Right.
So I think honestly, that could be something that will continue to some degree. I think that, you know, little things like we treat everyone as if they're COVID positive pre-symptomatic. Mm-hmm. And when you treat people like that, I mean, overall, everyone's going to be healthier. I have a feeling there's going to be fewer common colds this season than there's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, because we're all, you know, taking such a good look at our hygiene and how we interact with the world. So, you know, none of these things are bad things. They're all good things.
It's, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, right? That's the saying. And I'm so curious and excited to see how the industry has changed and evolved from this pandemic and what's going to be different, what's going to remain the same. And I think the things you're talking about, you know, waiting rooms, front desks, and, you know, all those things are things that can be positive changes for a business once you kind of work with it. So I think that's really cool. And it's good that you've been able to change and adapt to actually make that happen, because some people are more resistant to change than others. So, well, Nicole, I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. I know you're super busy, especially now. I guess I want to, kind of end with just, is there anything, any other advice you have for people who are opening med spas, be it in a larger metropolitan area or a location like yours? What else have you learned in your time? Because you've gone from scratch, right? 0 to 60 by yourself, bootstrapping the whole way. What are some other takeaways you can give to people?
Sure. So when we first opened, I was very focused on the medical spa. And I wanted to keep everything that we did at a level where it wouldn't be offered in a day spa, let's say.
Okay.
And because I was really trying to differentiate my practice.
Right.
Because in the area where I live, most people had no idea what a medical spa was. But I learned that was not necessarily the right thing to do. And now I am definitely not too proud to focus on the spa side of things, because that side of my practice is definitely the entry drug.
Yeah.
Of course we offer facials. I have a great esthetician and a wonderful nurse. Of course we, you know, now offer microblading, and we offer teeth whitening. Mm-hmm. And for a while we were even doing eyelash extensions. Mm-hmm. And none of those things that I ever imagined would be part of my medical spa. But those things are just golden. You have to offer those things so that people come in, they put their toe in the water, they're like, oh, that was relaxing and nice, no pain involved, no downtime, and those people are so nice.
Yeah. And so, do you get a chance to educate them while they're being treated? Yeah.
Yes. And the other thing is laser hair removal. That was I have six lasers. It's one of my lasers. And when I first got it, I didn't think it was going to be, you know, it was going to bring in as much to my practice as it does. And it is a good workhorse as far as, you know, bringing in income. But more importantly, those patients that come for laser hair removal, they typically are here 4 to 6 times, you know, for those treatments to get the reduction that they want. And during that time, you know, we have sold them on 6 other things that they can do.
I think what you're saying is so important for folks to realize that the esthetician services, for kind of lack of a better word, the facials, the hydrofacials, all those things, they are the driver of the kind of the funnel, right? That's how people get in, because they maybe don't want to do something that's quite so invasive and they want to just dip their toe in the water.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing when you have someone come in for a facial, and I'm a very small practice, so I have this ability, but I do a consultation on every single person that comes in the practice, even if it's just for a facial.
First of all,
but
Nicole,
when they come in for a facial,
you just said doo-doo.
I mean, there's a reason that I'm doing that consultation, because 9 times out of 10, you know, they're doing something else, you know, within a couple of weeks, because I met them and they said, you know, I really don't like these lines between my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, I, by the way, I cracked a joke in the middle of your thing. I said,
I'm sorry. I missed your joke. Yeah. Oh my God. No, I
said, cause you said doo-doo. You said they do-do, and that means doo-doo, and I'm immature, and that's just how I do things. I make that joke to my wife all the time. She loves it. She's not tired of it at all. I think it's so true. We've got to get you, cause again, you're the markets that you serve, I think, it's more of the country than not, right? I mean, there's so many places out there just like yours. We've got to get you up on the podium at Medical Spa Show talking about, you know, serving this type of market. I think people would love you. Well, how do you feel about that?
I think it would be fun. I have to say that I take calls for a laser company when they have somebody looking at a laser and they want to know, they want to talk to a doctor that has one and, you know, what has it done for your practice? So I talk to people a lot from around the country who are thinking about buying a laser. Mm-hmm. And I very selfishly do this because, you know, I actually just want to talk to somebody else that's been somewhere where I've been. And it makes me feel good that maybe I'm helping them. And maybe I'm giving them a leg up. And honestly, I'm like, wow, I really learned something, you know, in the last 6 years.
That's awesome.
I think it would be fun.
You don't give yourself enough credit. You've been, you've done it the right way, really. I mean, you're such a success story. And I thank you so much for not only being on the podcast, but for all the support you've given AmSpa over the years. You've been one of our original members. You've kind of run through the whole, you know, the whole gamut of things that we offer. And so I really appreciate that. And thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Alex. And I really appreciate what AmSpa does for our industry. And I'm definitely going to be at the MedSpa show next year.
I can't wait to see you. And where can people find you? Just if they need to either reach out to you for a question or if they want to look at your website,
sure.
What's the best way to reach you?
Our website is real simple, NicoleNorrisMD.com. And our Instagram is NicoleNorrisMD Medical Spa. I definitely check those messages. And our email, you can send a message actually right through our website.
Awesome. All right, Nicole, thank you so much.
Thanks, Alex. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us this week with the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, founder Alex Tiersch was joined by Dr. Nicole Norris, owner of Nicole Norris MD Medical Spa. If you're new with us, we'd love to invite you to hit the subscribe button. Click it now so you can catch AmSpa content delivered to you each time. Leave a rating and a review. See you on our next episode.